to you for just a few moments today from a story in the Old Testament. Thank you, guys. They're going to come back in just a moment. But I want you to listen to this scripture and this Bible verse. And you say, now, Pastor, can you preach sitting down? I can preach anywhere, anytime. That's what I do. I have a license to do it. And I believe right where you're sitting, the presence of God is going to speak to you today. And I don't have time just to go through and read all the Bible that I want to read. But boy, if you want something that will bless your life, read this week 1 Samuel chapter 30. I'm going to skip down to the part of verse 6. Now, David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because of the spoil of all the people, because the soul of all the people were grieved, and everyone was grieving for their sons and their daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And then he inquired, verse 8 says, of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this enemy? Shall I overtake them if I pursue them? And listen to what God told him. He said, you shall surely overtake them, and without fail, you shall recover it all. You're going to recover it all, David. But something's got to happen before that in verse 5 or verse 7, actually the end of verse 6, he said, you got to encourage yourself. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring a power on your life that enables you to recover it all. And then later in the story, and I didn't have time to read it, but you can find it, the Bible said he didn't just recover it all, but he recovered it all, listen to this, and spoils besides. And this was called David's spoils, S-P-O-I-L-S. It's really amazing that he didn't just go into this crisis and losing and get it back, but he got back more than what he lost, and it was called David's spoils, the scripture said. You know, life can throw you some curves. And it's not just the things that you see coming, but sometimes it's the things that you didn't see coming that hit you out of nowhere, that set you back in such a way that it seems like you can't get over it. I think that's the amazing thing about this COVID-19 is we didn't see it coming. Things were going so good. The economy was doing amazing. Jobs were an all-time high. People were getting along. Our church was doing so well and expanding and growing. We were having record weeks and months and souls being saved and lives being changed. And then all of a sudden, an unseen enemy comes in the middle of all of that winning, in the middle of all of that victory. There came something that we never saw. We never saw it coming. You know, there's the normal problems of life, and that's enough. The normal struggles of life, you know, the agitating things, the frustrating things, a flat tire, and that's not a big deal, but it's a big deal when it's your car on the side of the road, and it just interrupts your life, and just life is full of things. You know, the refrigerator breaks down, and usually the refrigerator and the dryer breaks down. It's almost like life is playing pile on sometimes. And it's not just the stuff that you can see, but it's the stuff that you don't see. And we, you know, are dealing with a lot of normal times where people feel like already their plate is full. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there comes these unexpected things that just make us feel like we're overwhelmed and you've reached your limit and your bandwidth is full and you already said, I can't take another thing. And then out of nowhere, here comes something you didn't see coming and you're in it. Well, that's the situation that David was in 1 Samuel chapter 30. David had 600 mighty men, and I'm telling you, they were on a roll, we would say. They were winning and winning and winning. Every battle, every city, for 3 months, day after day, they conquered territory. They conquered kingdoms, and they were winning and winning and winning. And After 3 months of fighting, they were so looking forward to go home and see their families and see their children and see all that they were fighting for, you know, to hold in their arms their families and to rest in their homes. And all of a sudden, when they travel back after they traveled many, many miles, they see smoke. They see a pillar of smoke, and it's coming from the direction of their hometown, and they speed on their horses trying to get there as quick as they can. And when they get there, it is an astonishing, dark thing that they see. The city, their city, is burned down to the ground. Not only that, but their homes, all of their homes, David's home was burned completely to the ground. The Amalekites had invaded, and while they were out dealing with this and dealing with that and dealing with this, they never saw the enemy attacking their homes and their families, and they found themselves in a situation where their children had been kidnapped and enslaved by the Amalekites. Their wives had been taken. The Bible said David's wife was gone. His children was gone. All the mighty men of Israel, their families, their homes burned to the ground. And they begin to question, how could we be winning so much out here and losing at home? Have you ever had that season in your life yet where you have two things going on at the same time in your home, like a miracle and a mistake? Like Abraham and Sarah, you know, they had Ishmael coming up in their home, the mistake, and they had Isaac coming up in their home, and it's like you've got all, you can't believe that it was doing so good in one area of your life and so bad in another area of your life. That was the situation that David found himself in. And he found himself in a place where he began to get overwhelmed because he didn't see this problem coming. And I think already before this virus hit, that many people's plate was so full and they had so much, and we were winning and we were conquering, but we really had our plate so full. And then here comes one more big thing that we didn't see coming. And now people find themselves in such uncertainty about their jobs, 22 million now. I've never seen numbers like that. Maybe 25 by now. 25 million, I think, was the number that I heard. Unemployed, the most that I've ever seen was 10 million in my lifetime. 25 million people unemployed. And it's almost, it feels like that life is just really, people's lives have been burned down. And have you ever had life just feel like your people in your life burn you, or, you know, you burn down your own life and it just feels like you've lost everything? And the scripture said that they began to weep in verse 4. They wept until they could weep no more. And the thing that touched me about this, and I really want to take a moment, lean in now, this is where I want to be. The thing that touched me about this is they wept until they couldn't weep anymore. These are mighty men. These are warriors. These are not weak people. These are not people who, you know, emotionally are unstable. These are killers. These are warriors. But when they saw their homes burned down, when they saw their families gone, when I think of a home, I think of a place of rest. I think of a place of retreat. I think of a place of I can go and recharge my battery. And I believe what the enemy is wanting to do through all of this crisis, it's not that they were tired physically as much as something broke. It's the straw that broke the camel's back. Something broke mentally and emotionally. They were tired. And I believe that's what the enemy's wanting to do. It's not that you may be physically as tired, because you've probably been getting more rest laying around the house, but emotionally you feel like it's pile on. Emotionally you feel like it's one thing after another. Now on top of that, the uncertainty of finances and jobs and what am I going to do with these children, and what are we going to do about their education, and what are we going to do? And it just feels like it's so much that's out of our control. And notice what they did. They lifted up their voice and they wept. The people who were with David wept the mighty men and David wept until they had no more power to weep. When you're in distress, that's one thing. But when all your people, all the people on your team are going through the same situation, and they all lifted their voice and they wept. And many, you know, live and perceive Christianity to be something that is in denial. They think Christianity is living in denial, but I love the fact that it says they wept. You know, the text shows that you're allowed to show feelings. You're allowed. It's not a lack of faith to show feelings. I'm disappointed. I'm confused. Why didn't God stop this? Why didn't God do something? There's nothing wrong with that. God understands our tears. And the text shows that they were allowed to feel those tears. You're allowed to feel like, I didn't see this coming. You're allowed to feel like, this hurts. You're allowed to feel like, you know, I'm scared of some Christians, because when tragedy and bad news comes, they instantly go into, it don't bother me. Things bother me. Maybe I'm different. Things bother me. I have to have a minute to process stuff. I have to minute sometimes to cry. I have to have a minute sometimes to get alone and figure out, how am I going to get through this? And I think that it's not healthy in Christianity when we act like we don't feel nothing. You know, you got trouble in your family, and you just act like, well, I just claim my family's God shall be saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you start quoting scripture. Sometimes you need to feel what you're going through. Feel the grief, feel the pain, feel the sorrow, weep. Sometimes you've got to get it out before you can get over it. And boy, if you don't know this as a man, let me tell you something. You and men, we get over stuff a lot quicker than women do. But women have to get it out. and you want to have a three-week ice age in your house, you just act like the problem that you and your wife had didn't happen. Because women can't just get over it. Sometimes you've got to get it out before you can get over it. Sometimes you have to get it out before you can process it. Sometimes you have to do more than quote a Bible verse. You need to talk it through. Sometimes you need more than a cliche. Everything's going to be all right. And that people think they're quoting scriptures. Don't worry, be happy. That's not a scripture. But have you ever met these super spiritual Christians that don't feel anything? I'm not that way. I'm not that spiritual. I'll be honest. I felt depression try to come on me during the middle of this. I felt dark days. I felt the uncertainty of the future. I felt it. And I know many of you are feeling it. And I think of the single mother sitting there at home right now. And, you know, you've had three kids in the house with you for 4 or 5 weeks now. And you don't know. And you're scared to death to go back to work because you're afraid. I could lose my health, and I could give this to my children. And I don't know how you manage it. I don't know how you do it. My heart goes out to you today. The scripture said that, I don't know why I stood up, but I feel something. I feel my help coming, and I'm gonna do what I feel like doing. It's my sermon. I'll preach it like I want to. Don't shut down your emotions. They had no power to weep. And I love the fact that it said, they wept until. And boy, I felt this. Somebody's about to have an until moment. They wept until they had no more power to weep. There has to come an until moment where you process it and you weep over it and you cry over it. I don't know why they left me. I don't know why that happened. I don't know why they laid me off. I don't know why God didn't intervene. And you weep until you can weep no more. But then they started turning the corner. When he said something powerful, he said, I'm going to weep until they could weep no more means I'm tired of talking about it. I don't know why it happened, But I'm done with it. I'm done with texting about it. I'm done with calling about it. I'm done with rehashing it. I'm done with telling people about it. I'm tired of talking about it, weeping about it. You have to have your until moment. They wept until they could weep no more. And the Bible said, and David was greatly distressed. David was greatly distressed and spoke of stoning and the people spoke of stoning him. Now, let me tell you when it's a bad day. Notice when people have bitterness, because the Bible said that they were grieved, and the Hebrew word for grieved is bitter, because their sons and daughters had been taken captive. The mighty men of David that he had fought battles with were bitter. And notice that when people get bitter, when people have bitterness, eventually they want to stone you. Be careful how you let bitter people in your life, because eventually they're going to pick up a stone. And that's what's starting to happen in our nation now. People are starting to blame. They've always got to have somebody to blame. David, what would stoning David do? I mean, what good would that do to stone David? But this is how human minds think when they get in crisis, is we got to blame somebody. We got to blame the Democrats. We got to blame the president. We got to blame the doctors. We got to blame this. We got to blame that. Just quit it. That's not the answer, to blame. And the scripture said they spoke of stoning David. Now, when the people in your circle start picking up rocks talking about stoning you, you're having a bad day. But let me get to where I want to go. And I'm going to take about 10 more minutes than I said. So you just stay right where you are. And if you leave now to get you a drink or a cup of Coke or whatever it is, you're going to miss something, because I want to preach to you. But David encouraged himself. I love that. This is where it all turns. And David encouraged himself. Why? Because all his people were talking about stoning him. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. There has to come a time where you start saying, you know, if I don't get no help from anybody, I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. The choir's not here to encourage me. I can't depend on them. I appreciate all the people that come usually in this sanctuary where I'm preaching, but there's none of them here today. But I've learned a secret, that when I don't have anybody I can really count on, sometimes your husband is not there for you. Sometimes your wife is not there to encourage you. Sometimes your best friends are not there to encourage you. But here's a powerful thing. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Oh, hallelujah. He had an inner citadel down deep in the inside of him that said, if you push me hard enough, if you squeeze me hard enough, if you put enough pressure on me, you know what's going to come out of me? The only thing that's really way down in there is praise. And if you squeeze me hard enough, praise is going to come out. And he started encouraging himself in the Lord. Well, Pastor Jensen, how do I encourage myself in the Lord? I've lost my job. How do I encourage myself? I don't have the choir. I don't have the preacher. I don't have anybody. I'm sitting here looking at this in my pajamas, and I'm looking at a screen. You are the one I'm preaching to. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Let me give you three quick things you do to encourage yourself in the Lord. Number one, rehearse your past victories. Rehearse your past victories. David started going back in his mind. He didn't have nobody to encourage him, didn't have any family. They were kidnapped, didn't have a house to go to. He was homeless. All his silver, all his money had been stolen. He was broke, so he didn't have any encouragement in his resources. He turned to his friends, and his friends didn't have his back. They were ready to throw stones. So he said, I'm going to encourage myself, not in my circumstances, but in the Lord my God. And how do you do that? Number one, you rehearse past victories. I could see him as he said, now, you know, I remember when I was just tending sheep, and I didn't have a house, and I didn't have a kingdom, and I didn't have all these friends, and I didn't have a beautiful wife and children. I didn't have anything, but that guy came and poured oil on me, and God anointed me, and he started encouraging himself. I am anointed. I have the power of God active in my life. And then I could see him, you know, I remember one day when a lion tried to kill one of my sheep, and the Spirit of the Lord came on me, and I slew the lion, and then a bear attacked, and I slew the bear. And I remember, now don't you see, he's rehearsing past victories. I remember when Goliath came out on that field, and I remember all I had was a slingshot and 5 stones. But I slew him because God was with me. I'm telling you that when your wife can't do it for you and your husband can't do it for you and your pastor can't do it for you and your mama can't do it for you, it's time to say, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. How do you do that? Through praise. Today, I'm going to do it myself. I can't depend on anybody. So I'll encourage myself in the Lord. So number one, rehearse your past victories. I want to say it like this. Shake off feeling sorry for yourself. Shake off don't nobody love me talk. Shake off all of that talk of, you know, being a victim. It's time to encourage yourself in the Lord. Stand up to life. Stand up to this challenge and encourage yourself in the Lord. It's bad. We've lost a lot and we don't have a guarantee of anything in the future except God is with us. But I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. One old song we used to sing in the church said, count your blessings. Count them, everyone. Count your blessings. See what God has done. Can we just, I got a little sermon group here. I got a few little amen corners here. Can we just clap our hands? Can we just clap our hands right here on this stage? And rehearse past victories. I know you may not have all you had before the virus, but you know what? God gave it all and he can restore it all. Hallelujah. Somebody take a moment and praise him. You can give me a little keyboard on that if you want to. That feels like that needs a chord. Hallelujah. I'm waiting. Praise God. Well, Pastor, what do? You rehearse past victories. Everybody say, encourage yourself in the Lord. I dare you. Come on, let me hear it. Encourage yourself. Say, I'm going to encourage myself. Say it right there in your living room, your bedroom. How? Rehearse past victories. God has never failed you. He's always put food on the table. He's always provided for you. He's always blessed the work of your hands. You're going to have good success. The second thing that the Lord told me to tell you is remember you're under divine protection. Now, this is how you encourage yourself. Rehearse past victories and remember you're under divine protection. Angels are all around you. Angels are guarding you. Angels are protecting you. Angels, in today's world, God has preserved you and your family. Think of the things that should have happened, but you escaped it. Think of the things that you dodged. Think of the things that should have hit you with full force, but somehow there was an unseen force of angels. And remember, you're under divine protection, and it ought to encourage you in the Lord. There's some battles ahead of you, but you're under divine protection. Your family is under divine protection. Your children is under divine protection. And then lastly, remind yourself after you rehearse past victories and after you remember that you're under divine protection, lastly, I want you to remind yourself who your God is. He is able. He is a waymaker. He is a miracle worker. I didn't know he was more than enough until I didn't have enough. I didn't know that he was a door until a door was shut and he became the door to a brand new thing in my life. And I want you to remind yourself who your God is. He's Jehovah Jireh, your provider. He's Jehovah Nissi, your victory banner. He's Jehovah Teskenu, your righteousness. He's Jehovah Shalom, your peace. He's Jehovah Shammah, the God who is there. He's Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals you. He is your God. And as you enter into this, I want you to hear what happened. For the Bible said, he prayed, David did, and he said, God, should I pursue? Should I believe that even though I've lost a lot, you can restore it? My family, my house is burned, my finances are gone. Is it over? And God said, you shall pursue. Listen, for you shall recover it all. And that's what I came in here with today, is I believe that we're about to recover it all in this nation. We're about to recover it all in our businesses and in our families and in our church and spoils besides. In other words, we're not just going to break even and get back what the enemy stole. But oh, David, when he got down to the Amalekites and saw them partying and having a big time, you ought to read it. They were having a party in the middle of the valley and had his kids tied up and had his all of his gold and eating all of his stuff and enjoying themselves. And the Bible said that David got angry and he attacked and he went to the enemy's camp. And after he took all of his stuff back, he turned around and he noticed, well, my goodness, They have sheep, they have cows, they have gold, they have stuff that they've accumulated, and they don't need it anymore because I just wiped them out. And so he said, I'm going to take that back. I'm not just going to get back what the enemy has stolen, but I'm going to recover it all. And I really believe that we're going to see in this nation and in the world and in your life and in your business and in your finances and in your family, you shall recover it all and spoils besides. I want to put that verse up under me. And spoils besides. Then this shall be called David's spoils. Isn't that something? That God says, I didn't let you go into this just to come out and break even. But you're going to see some things that only I could do, miracles in the valley. Woo. You're going to see miracles in the valley that's going to not only restore you the next 5, 6, 7 months of this year, but it's going to restore you and spoils besides. Everybody say these words out loud. I shall recover it all and spoils beside. Now lift your hands up right there and begin to praise him right there in your room and say, Lord, I thank you for that. I believe this is a word in season for my life. And I want to say to those of you who have lost your walk with God and all the things of the world have pulled you away, but now you're thinking straight. Now you're seeing straight. Now this has been a sobering time for you, and you understand how empty you are without Jesus. Why don't you pray this prayer with me right there where you are? Why don't you just say, Jesus, just say those words, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I receive you today, and I believe that I shall recover it all. I see in my mind, in my spirit, I see families that have been torn to pieces. You shall recover it all. I see people who have lost everything, but you shall recover it all. I see business people who feel like there's no way I can get back on my feet again, but you shall recover it all and spoils besides. And down the road, this year, you're going to look back and throw your hands up and say, my goodness, the pastor preached it and I believed it and I have received it. Why not believe God for miracles in your valley? It's time. It's time. You've wept all that you can weep. It's time now to say, I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. We're going to go out with a song today. One of the ways that you encourage yourself in the Lord is you look back over your life and you rehearse past victories. And this song says, how can I say thanks for the things that you've done for me? Things so undeserved that I didn't earn them, but you blessed me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee. I owe it all to thee. To God be the glory. So I'm going to worship now. And I want you to worship with us in your home. And let's just lift Jesus up. Encourage yourself in the Lord.
You've enjoyed this teaching by Jensen Franklin, and thank you for your continued support of this ministry. Your prayers and financial support make these programs possible. For more information about this message and other ministry resources, visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.